Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Once again, I say unto you, my precious brothers and sisters, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions. As I welcome you all to this episode tonight, I am still excited because tonight we will be continuing our study from the book of Genesis. This study provides a patriarchal look at the women and men involved in its telling of God's exploits from the beginning of religious time as we know it. Today, religion has identified at least three major periods of time, or eras, if you will, the patriarchal, the Mosaic, and the Christian eras. Now, I want to remind you all that all lessons and instructions are taken from the old King James Version of the Bible, and I highly suggest, so boredom does not come into play, meaning that you are not just listening and taking part, have your Bibles open and your pens ready for taking notes. Another reminder, every 15 minutes, we will pause for questions and answers. Now, before we get started, I want to personally again take this time to thank those of you who have taken time to give me feedback on the show. The comments and the advice that you are giving me, I am using. Thank you very much, my brothers and sisters. Okay, as our theme song for the show suggests, the question for this hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. Jesus said, blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Matthew chapter 5, verse 10. Jesus said, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manners of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Matthew chapter 5, verse 11 and 12. The question is again, my good brothers and sisters, are you standing on God's promises? Now to the study. Tonight, we're going back to the book of Genesis, chapter 21, verse 9 through 14. Genesis chapter 21, verse 9 through 14. And this is the instruction that we're going to glean from the text. Abraham separates Ishmael and Isaac. That's what we want to keep in mind when we read the text. Abraham separates Ishmael and from Isaac. And this is what the text says. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which had been born unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore, she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondswoman and her son, for the son of this bondswoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. Now remember, at that time, the firstborn was the inheritor of all the riches and powers of the father, of the family. Verse 12 says, and God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondswoman. And all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her, for in Isaac shall thy seed be. So God is telling Abraham that Isaac is where his lineage is going to be drawn from. And verse 13 says, and also of the son of the bondswoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. So God is again guaranteeing Abraham that Ishmael is going to have and become a great leader. And verse 14 says, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. Now you have to realize again that God counted Abraham's belief as righteousness. So this is where in verse 14 that Abraham again is relying on God's word. So now we're going to go to the complement, the New Testament, and we're going to see how this is referenced in Acts chapter 13, verse 44 through 47. This is what the New Testament says. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken of by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. This is the instance where Judaism and Christianity, that's just a tidbit I'm giving you. Now, verse 47 says, for so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. So this is telling us that God, or the separation from Judaism and Christianity, took place in this moment. And that's identical, or it compares to what Abraham was told when he separated Ishmael from Isaac. All right, so now what do we want to learn, and what does this mean to us? This means that we have to be careful that we separate Christianity from all the other faith practices that are in the world today and not get caught up in it. All right. That is instruction number 26. And if you have any comments, go to the chat room. If you want to email me, that is fine. Now let's go to the next instruction. The next instruction is going to be taken from Genesis chapter 22. Verse 1 and 2, and verse 11 and verse 12. And we're going to identify in this text the instruction. What does Abraham teach us? This is what we want to look at as we're reading the text. Keep this in mind. What does Abraham teach us? So Genesis chapter 22, verse 1 and 2 says, and it came to pass after these things, that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. Now, we have to be careful with the language here because this is a revision, and it is saying in chapter 22, verse 1, that God tempt Abraham. And we have to be careful because we know that in the New Testament, it says in the book of James that God does not tempt anyone. So this is a construct, if you will, in the revision of this King James. So verse 2 says, and we'll continue after the break.
God loves you.
He is jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath a weight of his wind and mercy.
God loves you. And he loves you with a love that you don't even know anything about. Because there is no human love comparable to divine love.
God loves you. He wants to forgive you. He wants to have fellowship with you.
It doesn't make any difference how far you tried to run from God. He loves you. His eye is on you. He sees you.
God created us in his image, and you as a person are important to God. The Bible says that God has the hairs of your head numbered. Every moment of your life is watched by God.
Oh, how he loves us so.
God is listening, and God loves you. He's your friend. He'll put his arm around you.
And he understands, and he answers, and he's sympathetic to your problems.
God loves you, and the Bible says that God sent his Son from heaven to this earth for you. Jesus Christ came to this earth to take your sins upon a cross.
And he would have died had you been the only person in the whole world. He loves you. Don't ever forget, he loves, 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 loves you.
Yeah, he loves us. Whoa, how he loves us. Whoa, how he loves us. Whoa, how he loves us.
When Jesus Christ was nailed to that cross, he did that for you. That's how much he loves us.
The Bible says, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. God loves you. And God has a plan for your life.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now, here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay. All right. Here we go again. We're looking at the instruction, what does Abraham teach us? And we've started off in Genesis 22, verse 1 and 2, and it says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell you thereof. And verse 11 and 12 says this, And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from thee. So we can see what Abraham again teaches us is that obedience to God, fearing God. And we know that the Old Testament teaches us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So as we respond to God, regardless of what he says to us, we can ensure that he's going to take us or not allow us to be confronted or beset it by whatever is confronting us at the time. And now let's go to the compliment, the New Testament, and see how Matthew identifies the same in his writing. We're going to Matthew chapter 26, verse 36 through 39. And this is what happened to Jesus. It says, "Then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." So we can see again, Jesus, as Abraham did, responded to what God had commissioned him to do. And so that is the comparison that is taught from Jesus into this Gethsemane scene. Now what we want to do is see that what the meaning of this is spiritually in our lives. So this is what this is teaching us, that what God is telling us to do from within, God is leading us with a message from the Bible itself, or for some, as they sense it, we are supposed to obey it regardless of what we think it is or the outcome will be. We should obey that. So that is the meaning of this instruction to us. Now let's go to the next instruction, and we're going to again go to Genesis chapter 23, verse 1 through 6. Genesis chapter 23, verse 1 through 6. And this is what the instruction is identifying, and this is what we want to concentrate on as we read the text. A Bible comment on physical and spiritual death. This is significant because we're talking about two forms of death, physical and spiritual. So this is a comment on physical and spiritual burial. We're going to read Genesis chapter 23, verse 1 through 6, and says, "And Sarah was 127 years old." These years is the life of Sarah. "And Sarah died," the same is in Hebron, that's where she died, "in the land of Canaan. And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and weep for her. And Abraham stood up from before his dead and spake unto the sons of Heth, saying, I am a stranger and a sojourner with you. Give me a possession of a burying place with you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. And the children of Heth answered Abraham, saying unto him, Hear us, my lord, thou art a mighty prince among us. In the choice of our sepulchres bury thy dead. None of us shall withhold from thee his sepulchre, but that thou mayest bury thy dead." So there is a physical application here that we or the dead should be buried, or at least as we have it today, taken care of, okay? Because there is also burial by fire in some instances. Now what we're going to do is go to Matthew again, the New Testament, and see what the compliment has to add to this or say. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 8, verse 19 through 22, and this is what the text says. Matthew chapter 8, verse 19 through 22, it says, "And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee wherever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, Listen, my brothers and sisters, follow me, and let the dead bury their dead." So in this instance, Jesus is talking to that individual that identified what he wanted to do before he would follow Jesus, meaning that in Abraham's time, he said that he would take care of burying his dead. Jesus changed that in the instance that you follow God and then you bury your dead. That's the significance of the Matthew chapter 8, verse 19 and 22. Now, this is what the instruction means spiritually in our lives, that we are supposed to focus on our spiritual life compared to our physical life. We're not so much worried about the physical death. We know that that's going to occur. It's the spiritual life that we do not want to die. We want that to live forever and be with God. All right, so that's the instruction number 28. And if you have any comments or questions, please get them to me so you can share them with me. Now we're going to go to the next instruction. We're going to go back to Genesis chapter 24, verse 1 through 7. And we're going to also read verse 40. And this is what we're going to concentrate on. This is the instruction, the story of Isaac and Rebekah. All right? So that is where we're going to concentrate what the text tells us concerning the instruction, Isaac and Rebekah. Chapter 24, verse 1 through 7 says this, "And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go into my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, Peradventure, the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I need bring thy son again unto this land from whence thou comest? And Abraham said unto him, Beware, thou that thou bringest not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that swear unto me, saying, Unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence." So the story of Isaac and Rebekah has a sense of when we studied last week about Lot and his daughters, the incest, because we will continue after the break.
How many of you know the impossible doesn't intimidate God? God isn't offended by your biggest dreams or your boldest prayers. He's offended by anything less.
God will hear your prayer. He will move heaven and earth on your behalf. Mountains will be moved out of the way. So when we come to God, we come boldly. Father, in the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus, we come to you in prayer today, and we believe.
Don't forget to pray, but don't be ashamed to pray. And don't be too proud to pray. Prayer changes things. I don't care how dark it looks for you. I don't care what they done said to you. I don't care what the verdict is. I don't care what the haters say. Prayer changes things.
God is honored when we come to Him. He's honored when we talk to Him. And He's willing to hear and answer our prayer. He says, call unto me. I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. If He can part the Red Sea, knock down the walls of Jericho, and if He can give us the Ten Commandments, He can answer any prayer we pray that fits His will and His plan for our life.
We must begin to believe that God, in the mystery of prayer, has trusted us with a force that can move the heavenly world and bring his power down to earth. If your prayers aren't impossible to you, they're insulting to God. God is ready to act if we'll be bold enough to ask.
Amen. Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. I am Christopher, and welcome back, Pete.
Here we go again. Continuing with instruction number 29, we are looking at the story of Isaac and Rebekah. So we gleaned from the text that Isaac received his wife from his family. That's how the transition was made. And now what we want to do is look at the complement and see another story that I think is relative, but not exact in comparison. But we're going to go to the book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 26 through 37. The book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 26 through 27, and this is what the book of Acts tells us. It says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go towards the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he rose up and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasury, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to the chariot. And the Philippian and Philip ran thither to him and heard him read from the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both in the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he was baptized. All right. So this is where I compare, where the servant of Abraham did what Jacob, or what, yes, what Isaac said for him to do as far as finding a wife for Rebekah, or finding Rebekah, his wife, to be wed. And this is what the eunuch did. He followed the advice of Philip and went into the water and was baptized. The connection. Now, this is what the instruction means spiritually in our lives, that we're in the story of basic instructions before leaving earth. And we are living our lives according to what is written in our book of life. And our book of life is contained within the pages of basic instructions before leaving earth. So you want to follow what is being identified for you to accomplish in order to gain the salvation that we seek. That's the instruction that I am giving you from this. All right? If you have comments or questions, and I know there's some out there, please get them to me so I can understand what you're thinking. We're going to go now to the next instruction, and we're going to go back to Genesis. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 25, and we're going to read verse 1 and 2. Genesis 25, and we're going to read verse 1 and 2. And this is the instruction that we want to focus on as we read the text. Abraham, the father of more nations. All right? I was amazed when I found out that Abraham had more sons. And this is what Genesis chapter 25, verse 1 and 2 is going to tell us. This is what it says. Then Abraham took a wife, another wife, and her name was Keturah. And she bare him Zimran and Jokshan and Medam and Midian and Ishbak and Shua. Six other sons did Abraham have. So we know that he was the father of more than just Ishmael's nation and Isaac's nation. That's significant. Now, what we're going to do is go to the complement, and we're going to go to the book of John, and we're going to see what the New Testament says in relations to this. We're going to the book of John, chapter 10, verse 14 through 16. And this is what the book of John says. Jesus said, I am the shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And listen, my brothers and sisters, this is key. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. So that tells us that Jesus the Christ is the father, if you will, of more than just one nation. And of course, we accept that as the nation of Christianity. But this tells us that he is the father of more than one nation. So what we have to do is, when we're looking at the meaning for this instruction spiritually, this is what it's telling us. It is telling us that there are other than we as Christians that are going to be brought into the kingdom of God. Now, as we go into more research in the Bible, especially the New Testament, we will get a better understanding of what that means. But we as Christians are not the only ones that are going to be saved. That's the key to this instruction. Okay, we're going to now go to the next instruction. That was instruction 30. We're going to go now to instruction 31, and we're going to go back to the book of Genesis, and we're going to read from Genesis chapter 25, verse 9, verse 12 through 18. And this is what we want to do in this particular look at the text. Another look at Ishmael. That is the instruction for this text. Another look at Ishmael. And this is what it says, Genesis chapter 25, verse 9. It says, and his sons, Isaac and Ishmael, buried him in the grave in the field of Ephraim, the son of Zophar, the Hittite, which is before Mamre. And verse 12 through 18 says this. Now these are the generations of Ishmael, Abraham's son, whom Hagar, the Egyptian, Sarah's handmaid, bare unto Abraham. And these are the names of the sons of Ishmael, by their names, according to their generations. And he named off maybe 11 names. And then he says, these are the sons of Ishmael, and these are their names, by their towns and by their castles, 12 princes according to their nations. That's the key again, my brothers and sisters, 12 princes according to their nations. So you can see that Ishmael, and we'll continue after the break.
Number one, put God first. Put God first in everything you do. Everything that you think you see in me, everything that I've accomplished, everything that you think I have, and I have a few things, Everything that I have is by the grace of God. Understand that. It's a gift. 40 years ago, March 27th, 1975, it was 40 years ago, just this past March, I was flunking out of college. I had a 1.7 grade point average. I hope none of you can relate. I had a 1.7 grade point average. I was sitting in my mother's beauty shop. They still call it beauty shop now? What they call it now? Yeah, I was sitting in the beauty parlor. I was sitting in my mother's beauty parlor, and I'm looking in the mirror, and I see behind me this woman under the dryer. And every time she looked up, she was looking at me, just looking me in the eye. I didn't know who she was, and I said, you know, she said, somebody give me a pen, give me a pencil, I have a prophecy. March 27, 1975, she said, boy, you are going to travel the world and speak to millions of people. Now, mind you, I was flunked out of college. I'm thinking about joining the army. I didn't know what I was going to do, and she's telling me I'm going to travel the world and speak to millions of people. Well, I have traveled the world, and I have spoke to millions of people. But that's not the most important thing, the success that I had. The most important thing is that what she taught me and what she told me that day has stayed with me since. I've been protected. I've been directed. I've been corrected. I've kept God in my life, and it's kept me humble. I didn't always stick with him, but he always stuck with me. So stick with him in everything you do. If you think you want to do what you think I've done, then do what I've done and stick.
That's right. Put God first. Now back to our program. Welcome back. Hallelujah, Pete.
Amen. Here we go again. All right. Continuing with the instruction, another look at Ishmael. We see that Ishmael was granted to have sons that were princes. So that is significant. Now let's go to the compliment. We're going to go to Acts chapter 8, verse 9 through 24. And what this is saying to us, again, is a story that I'm picking up. There are so many different instructional compliments in the New Testament compared to the Old Testament, and in the Old Testament compared to the New Testament. Some of them, I'm only picking the ones that I think that are significant, but there are many more. And so if you can come up with a question or a comment to give me more of an understanding of what I'm trying to share with you in another look at Ishmael, please do. This here, again, is Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 9 through 24. And this is what it says. There was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that he himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regarded, because that of a long time he had betwixt them with sorcery. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which was done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed with them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet had he not fallen upon any of them, only they were just baptized in the name of Jesus. Then they laid their hands upon them, and they received the Holy Ghost. You can read the rest of that story. The significance there is that Simon is the one that we want to focus on. We see two different faces of Simon. And similarly, we saw two different faces of Ishmael, and that's the comparison that I'm trying to make. And hopefully you kind of understand that this is what the instruction is saying, and the meaning of it is that we do not take things at face value, that it's the works that are significant and not the words. You know, faith without works is dead. And we know that there's an old saying that I hear what you're saying, but I see what you're doing. And that is the significance of this other look. We should look at ourselves at what we are saying and what we are doing. And what we are doing is more significant than what we're saying. That's the lesson here for this instruction. Okay, now we'll go to the next instruction. We're going to go back to Genesis chapter 25, verse 21 through 34. Genesis chapter 25, verse 21 through 34. And this is the instruction. Esau and Jacob at odds with each other. That is the instruction that we want to look at. If you know the story, that's good. If you don't know the story, then you need to go to Genesis chapter 25 and read the whole chapter. But this is the instruction there. It's taken out of the text. Esau and Jacob at odds with each other. Genesis chapter 25, and we're going to start in verse 21 through 34. And this is what it says. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. Children struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. That's significant as we read on. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red and all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother, and out of his hand, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she was born. And the boys grew, and Isaac was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau, because he did eat of his venison, and Rebekah loved Jacob. Now remember, the firstborn was still the one that received all the inheritance. And Jacob sowed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point of to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me or for me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. That's the key. When Esau despised his birthright, that's when he fell out with Jacob, who actually lied to him at that time. Now what we're going to do is we're going to go to the New Testament, and we're going to look at the complement and see what is said in Galatians chapter 2, and it's verse 11 through 14. And this is what the New Testament says. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came James, who did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were the circumcision. Now that means Peter was the one that separated himself. And the other Jews dissembled themselves likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew, invest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews. Why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. And by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So here we're looking at what happened to Peter and Paul when they were eating and dining with the Gentiles. When the Jerusalem Jews came, then Peter dismissed himself from dining with them. The comparison here is Enoch and Jacob. Enoch sold his birthright to Jacob, and he was okay with that at the time. And then he became odious at the end and fought against Jacob because of that. So we can see that Peter and James, or Peter and Paul, also were comrades in the beginning before the episode came where Peter removed himself from the presence of Paul and the Gentiles because he didn't want to upset the Jews that were with him. That is the compliment that is compared with this instruction. And I'll give you the rest at the end of the break.
Okay, I want to go into that, Bishop. So is there a difference between being crushed by the hand of God versus suffering the consequences of your own decisions?
I think that sometimes God uses his hand and sometimes he uses yours. Yeah, sometimes he uses yours, but see, you cannot get God's people out of God's hand. Whether they are dysfunctional, whether they're emotionally dwarfed, they are still God's people. Whether they make bad decisions or stupid decisions or terrible mistakes, you cannot get them out of God's hand. The souls that are in the Father's hands, no man can pluck them out. Some of them are smart souls. Some of them are proud souls. Some of them are arrogant souls. Some of them are prejudiced souls. But they are in God's hands, and God will keep working with them and working with them and reshaping them and breaking them and making them again and breaking them again until they become what he had in mind. Every branch of me that beareth fruit, every branch of me that's doing kind of good, he says the reward is I prune it that it might bring forth more fruit. So when God gets ready to take you up, he always cuts you back. There will be some exodus. There will be some loneliness. There will be some crushing place, some weeping, wallowing stage of life, because you are his and he knows exactly where to cut you. In the book, I talk about my mother had a rose bush and I decided to help her out. And I was a little kid. I went out there to do like I had seen her do. I was going to prune the bush and I almost killed it. I used the same knife, and it was the same bush that I'd seen her prune the year before. I used the same knife. But in my hand, it was a weapon, and in her hand, it was a tool. God knows exactly where to cut you to make you more productive. I was doing the right thing, but I was cutting in the wrong place. Mama knew exactly where to cut that bush in order to make it go from fruit to more fruit. To much fruit. God knows exactly where to crush you, to bring you to the place that you need to be.
Welcome back. Peter, we have a question. Why did it take 1,500 years following Jacob and Esau for Christ to come?
That is a very good question. Why did it take so long? God knows. All right? If you follow the text, it does not give an explanation in time. God is eternal. When he created the heavens and earth in 7 days or in 6 days, we don't know if that was chronological days, meaning 24 hours. We just know for our understanding the physical print identified 7 days. So the 1,500 years, it's not been explained to my understanding. If anyone out there knows, would they please let us know so we can share that and pass that on to the listener. That was a good question, but I don't know. Any other questions? Chris?
No, that was the only one we had right now. Continue on with the program.
Okay. Now, getting back to the instruction number 32 right fast, we had Esau and Jacob at odds, and we had James and Peter at odds. Okay. Now, this is what it means to us spiritually in our lives, that we should not be at odds with the others who are in the same family. Okay? Esau and Jacob were in the same family. Peter and Paul were in the same faith. We are in the same faith with all of Christianity, whether they be Episcopalians or Seventh-day or Baptists or Methodists or Church of Christ. It does not matter. We should not be at odds with those who are in our same family. And I'll give more details on that type of lesson when we get more into the New Testament text. Okay, let us go to the next instruction. The next instruction is going to be taken from Genesis chapter 26. We're going to go back to Genesis chapter 26, and we're going to be reading verse 24 only. And this is the instruction, God's covenant with Isaac. Now, as I just gave you the meaning of the previous instruction, this again can be added to that. You see, God made covenants with more than just one person, and they're all in the same family. So that's another reason that we should be open to the different faith practices that are inside Christianity today. Okay, Genesis chapter 26, verse 24, this is what it says. It says, "And the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee and will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake." So that's what Isaac was told, that because of his father Abraham, the seed, that the covenant that God made with his father is going to extend through him. Now let's look at the complement in the New Testament and see how Jesus the Christ explains that or exemplifies that for us. We're going to go to John, the book of John, chapter 17, and we're going to be reading verse 2 and verse 3 in John chapter 17. And this is what it reads. It says, and listen, my brothers and sisters, this is critical. Jesus says, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. All right, so this is the covenant that God made with Jesus Christ, that he would give to us eternal life. And so this is what the instruction means spiritually in our lives. This covenant is for salvation. And that, you could say, is the final covenant. For we today must be saved. That's why Jesus Christ came, to seek and to save that which was lost, not to call the righteous. So we see that through Jesus Christ, we have eternal life. That's the instruction. Okay, so now we'll go, and before we do that, let me just remind you, staying in accordance with my mission statement, that everyone be exposed to salvation. My very good brothers and sisters, the Bible says in 2 Peter, verse 12, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth." Now, that being said, here are some of the many highlights of our program's description and format. Now, basic instructions before leaving Earth. The Bible includes the entire review of the 66 books of the canon, according to the Protestant authority, and there are many good versions. The stressing of the spiritual aspect of the Bible rather than the physical aspect, because Jesus said it accurately, or said it well. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profited nothing. Drills and exercises associated with standing on the promises of God and Jesus Christ. Our using of both the Old Testament and the New Testament to complement each other and to substantiate one another. The use of the scriptures to validate opinions. And, of course, our mission statement, this is for everybody. That is the mission statement. Now, what we're going to do now is go to the next instruction. We're going to go back to the book of Genesis. We're going to be reading from Genesis chapter 27, verse 6 through 8, and we're going to also read verse 19 and 24. And this is what we're going to focus on out of this text. The instruction is the lesson in deception. And this is what the text says. Genesis chapter 27, verse 6 through 8. It says, "And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison and make me savory meat, that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord, before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I have commanded thee. Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, and as such he loves." That's what Rebekah said to Isaac. "And thou art," she said that to Jacob, "and thou shalt bring it to thy father, and that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, Behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. Peradventure, my father," I will let you read the rest of that because the time is getting short. But what we want to note from this is that there was deception, and this is what was played out. But because it was the Old Testament and the law had not been included in yet to the nation of Israel, you might say, as God winked in the New Testament, says God winked at some of what was done, that is exactly why deception was not verboten at that time. Now what we're going to do is go to Matthew chapter 26, and we're going to read what the New Testament says as a complement to this. We're going to read from Matthew chapter 26, 21 through 25, and this is what it says. "And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he said unto them, He that dippeth his hands with me in the dish, the same shall betray me." So we know that that was about Judas Iscariot. And so what we're trying to say here, that was deception, because Judas, he didn't deceive Jesus. Jesus knew, but the rest who were with Jesus as the apostles were deceived. So this is what the instruction means spiritually in our lives, that we are not to deceive one another. We're not to play the deception with one another, because that is, of course, today a sin. And that is the meaning for this. And now we are concluding the program. Let's see you.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE, Blog Talk Radio Talk Show Program. Hope you were blessed by our program. Please join us every Wednesday at 7 p.m. for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE.